until, you know, the Lord opens those doors back up, I want you to know we pray for you here at Liberty Baptist Church. You're in our hearts and you're on our minds, and my thoughts are with you a lot of the time. And I look forward to the day the Lord opens those doors back up and we can be there with you in person, and we can talk to you, and we can share the Word of God with you and encourage you, and you are an encouragement to us, you know, and I miss that time together. But regardless, here we are, where this is the situation that we find ourselves in, and we're going to talk today about the Lord is good. You know, a lot of times it just seems like our country, right, is kind of falling apart all of a sudden. Our country might fall apart, but the Lord's still good. You know, the Lord doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the only person that doesn't change. You catch me tomorrow, maybe things aren't going very well, and I'll be a different person tomorrow than I am today. The Lord's the same. He's going to be the same tomorrow as He is today. So we're going to be in Nahum chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first 7 verses to you. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for this opportunity, Father, just to put Your Word on DVD and take it to these dear folks that are shut in. And I just ask that You encourage their hearts through Your Word here today. Help us to see, Father, that no matter what's going on around us, You are good. You are good to each one of us. Your mercies are new every day. Father, even though things seem to be falling apart around us, we know You're in control. Father, our faith is in You and not in our circumstances or people in power or whatever it might be. Our faith is in You and You alone. And we look to You, Father. And now we're just asking that You bless this time together. Father, give me words to say that would be an encouragement to these dear folks. And I just ask that You work in their hearts and lives, Father. And most of all, I just ask if anyone listening to this service here today, if they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Father, I ask that You work in their heart. Just help them to see the truth of Your Word here today, Father. Help them to see their need of the Savior, Jesus Christ, before it's eternally too late. Father, we'll just thank You for Your goodness and all You're going to do for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I want to read the first 7 verses of the book of Nahum to you. Now, Nahum, he is talking to the children of God. He's talking to the Israelites, God's chosen people, and he's talking about the Assyrians, and they're wicked. The Assyrians are vile people. And as I was getting this ready, I'm thinking, boy, you know, we've got cities in this country of ours that are burning to the ground. We've got people who hate other people because of the color of their skin, and they're doing vile things to them. I really didn't see a lot of difference between the Assyrians and what's going on in our country today. But I tell you, the Assyrians were very wicked people. And even though they're very wicked, as we'll see here in verse 7, Nahum says, the Lord's good. The Lord's good. So no matter what's going on around us, just like back here in Nahum's time, he's trying to tell the people, the Lord's good. Turn your attention and your focus and your energy to the Lord. He's there to help us. So let's read the first 7 verses here. Nahum 1:1, it says, the burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth in Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at Him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. And then in verse 7, so none of that is good stuff, really. Not if you're the Assyrians. Well, actually, it's not even that good if you don't know anybody that doesn't know God, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. It's none of it's good. But in verse 7, he says, the Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. The Lord is good. Do you go to him in your time of trouble? And most of all, he says, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you know him? Are you trusting in him as your Savior? Are you trusting in him because of what he's done? That's the question. Okay, the Assyrians were the vilest, meanest people of that era. But they were no more vile and evil than the people of America today. Boy, some of the things I read on the news is just, I can't imagine people doing that to other people. You know, people just walking up and beating up the elderly. I don't know, I can't imagine doing something like that. But you know, another thing that I can't imagine is when something like that happens, nobody goes over to help. People just stand there and watch it. They're more interested in recording it than they are helping one another. I don't, the day and age in which we live is just something I never thought I would see. And as I stand here, I just wonder what tomorrow will bring. Because it just seems like all of a sudden our country is just going right off a cliff. It's whatever evil thought or imagination comes into the heart and minds of people, they carry it out. They carry it out. The Lord is good. But Nahum's telling the people, the Lord is good. You need to trust in him because he's our stronghold. He's our refuge. He's our hiding place. No matter how bad things get, no matter how discouraged we might get because the doors have been locked shut and we haven't had family and friends, and I can't imagine how difficult that has been for you. The Lord is good. He's the one we run to in times of trouble. I want to run to the Lord when times are good. Okay, but when in times of trouble, where else do I there's no place else I want to go except to the Lord because he's good. You know, our country is the same as with the Assyrians that we just got done reading about. We revile God's law as a country. We have no interest in it. You know, as a country, we ignore God's word. People, it's very hard to tell somebody out there a verse from God's word. They don't want to hear it anymore. We have found countless way to kick God out of everything. You know, as a country, just like the Assyrians, they were godless. We as a country, it seems like we just don't want God involved in anything. As a result, though, America is a nation that will be judged. You know, just like God was about ready to judge the Assyrians. We're not getting away with anything. This country's not getting away with anything. We also read in Nahum that the Lord is slow to anger. You know, he wants everyone to get right with him. But judgment will fall. Nobody gets away with anything. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He will take care of it. He will. The turmoil in our society, you know, the economy looks like it's really going to be a mess coming up here real shortly. It's already started that direction. And there's a steady decline in our morality in this country. And it can all be traced back to the abandonment of God. So God's judgment is and will continue to fall on our country just as it did Assyria. But even in the midst of it, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. I feel for people who don't know the Lord. They don't know His goodness and His mercies. They don't know His grace upon their life. I feel for those people because it's all right there for them. The Lord is good to all people. It's just that all people aren't good to each other. But the Lord is good to all people. You know, John 3:16, we're all familiar with that verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah, right there it is. For God so loved the world. He loves every one of us. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what country you live in. It doesn't even matter what country you were born in. God loves you. And you know what He did for you? He gave, He's the one that gave His only begotten Son. And all we have to do is believe in His Son, and we're not going to perish. We're not going to perish in the lake of fire for an eternity. We're not going to do that. But we're going to have everlasting life. We're going to live for eternity with God in heaven. That's why I said a minute ago, I feel bad for those people who don't know God's goodness. They don't know His mercy. They don't know His grace in their life. And it's available to them. The Lord is good to all people, in all places, in all situations, and at all times. Let's just take a look at Psalms 145, 9. Psalms 145, 9. This is what I'm about to tell you. I got a few verses here on the Lord's good to everybody. But the problem is the majority of the people will never experience it. And that's sad because of John 3:16. God so loved the whole world. But yet they reject Him. You know, God's good to us. Psalms 145, 9 says, the Lord is good to all. He's good to all. And His tender mercies are all over His works. Who doesn't want to be a part of that? Who doesn't want to know the Lord? Who doesn't want to know the goodness of Jesus Christ? You know, I don't know. It just boggles my mind when it don't cost us anything. People are worried about their finances today, in this day and age, and probably always have been. But, boy, I tell you, the free gift of salvation that only comes through Jesus Christ doesn't cost a thing. It doesn't cost a thing. And people still reject it. It says right there, the Lord is good to all. Let's take a look at Psalms 34:8. 34:8, it says right here, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O taste and see that the Lord is good. See, that goes right back to what I said a minute ago. Most people will never taste and see that the Lord is good. The majority of the people will never do that. Psalms 100, verse 5. It says right here again, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. That right there tells the Lord is good. You know, I'll tell you how good He is. His mercy and His truth endureth to all generations. You know, when the Lord looks down and He sees how wicked the United States of America has become, He would have every right to withhold His mercy and His truth to future generations. But He's not going to do that. He says He's not. It says His truth endureth to all generations. So even the generations that might be yet to come, the Lord's going to have mercy on them. if they want his mercy upon them. It's their decision, just like it's your decision. Nobody can force you. The day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, nobody forced me to do that. It was the absolute best day of my life. That's when I started to find out how good the Lord really is. And you can experience that same thing. Let's look at one more. Let's go to Psalms 135:3. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. We just looked at several verses where it says the Lord is good. But the majority of the people in this world shake their fist at God and they blame him for everything that goes on. And they don't, why is it? Because they don't know him. They don't know the Lord. They don't know his goodness. They do not know his, they've never experienced his mercy and his grace in their life. You know, I tell you how good the Lord is. Let's go to Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. Where else would you get an offer like this from the Creator? The one who created the heavens and the earth. The ones who created you and I. And look at this, what he says to us. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we, that'd be you and me, we may obtain mercy and find the grace to help in time of need. The Lord is good. If he wasn't good, why else would he give us this invitation right here? Why else would he be sitting there waiting for us to come to him when we need help? Because he's ready to help. He's ready to help. The Lord is good to his children. Are you a child of his? Those who are trusting in Jesus. But he is also good to those who are lost in their sins. You know, before I got saved, the Lord was good to me. I didn't get saved till I was 32 or 33 years old. And he was patient and good to me for all those years, waiting on me. And you know what? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. Now, let's think, well, we already read John 3:16. Let's go to Luke 2:11. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I have a lot of favorite verses, but this is one of them. Luke 2:11. I know this is, you hear this verse a lot at Christmas time, but still, I mean, just think of this verse for a minute. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He came to save us from our sins. That's how good the Lord is right there. That was the purpose behind Jesus being born and walking this earth and dying on the cross. It was because of you and me. It was because of you and me. Let's go to 2 Peter 3:9. He's good to those people who do not trust him. He's good to those people who shake their fist at him. You know, because if it would be me, I'd say do away with him just like that. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. That's what I would do. You know, these people that walk up and just hit the elderly walking down the sidewalk, they would not get another chance. Humanly speaking, that's I would just like to be done with them. But God's not that way. God sees a far bigger picture than what I see with my blinders on right in front of me. 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, to you and me, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's that word perish again. We found that in John 3:16. In these verses, excuse me, perish, people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are going to perish in the lake of fire. Everything Jesus has done is so we don't have to do that. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. You know, and he's very patient with us. So he's patient with everyone that shakes their fist at him, everyone that doesn't, that right now in their lives, they don't want anything to do with him. And he's very patient. That's how good the Lord is. It's hard for me to comprehend that because, like I said, if you got an adversary, you want to do away with the adversary. But God doesn't do that. He has a lot of adversaries in this world, and he loves each and every one of them. He's very patient towards them, and he's waiting for them to come to him. He's good to the people who are lost in their sins. Nahum, you know, if we go back to Nahum 1:7, excuse me. Nahum reminds God's children that God is a stronghold in the day of trouble. The Lord is good, and he's a stronghold. A stronghold is a place of safety. It's protection and refuge. It's a safe harbor during your storm. That's what the Lord is. The Lord is good, and he's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Now, trouble comes to every one of us, sooner or later. Not a one of us know what tomorrow brings. Not a one of us, except the Lord. It could be full of trouble. It might be just a troubled area of your day tomorrow. It might be the whole day's full of trouble. But the Lord is there for our protection. He's our stronghold. And you know what? The majority of the people in this world, when the trouble comes their way, they'll run any direction except to the Lord. They'll try to figure it out themselves. My Savior has a better understanding of the trouble that's surrounding me than I do. And he is far better equipped to handle it than I am. All I want to do is go to him and turn it over to him, just like we read in Hebrews 4:16. Let him go ahead and deal with the situation. Lord is good, and he's a stronghold. Sooner or later, we all need that stronghold. Trouble will come to us eventually. Let's go to the book of Job. Just like it did Job. Job chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Job chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, it says, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. Man is born. Trouble is going to come eventually. And it comes a lot this day and age. What we think is trouble anyway. If it troubles us, that's the trouble I'm talking about. Okay, and the Lord's there to take care of that. But majority of the people will not go to him. Even a lot of the saved people, you know, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, our tendency is still, when trouble comes to us, we want to try to figure it out, how to get rid of the trouble. When the first thing that should come to us is, Lord, I need your help. We should run to the Lord. But unfortunately, people won't do that. Job 14:1. Trouble will come. Job 14:1. It says, man that is born of a woman. Well, let's see. That would be all of us. Is a few days and full of trouble. Trouble comes, but the Lord's there to help us through it. And he wants to help you through your troubled times. You know, during this time of being locked down, I can only imagine, like I said a little bit ago, the discouragement that sets in and the trouble that seems to be around you at this time. Do you go to the Lord? Do you find the grace and the mercy that you need to see you through this troubled time? Do you find it from the Lord? Or are we busy looking around trying to solve the problem ourselves? You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, two very, very good, in all thy ways acknowledge him. But far too many people are too busy trying to understand the situation themselves. There's so many things I don't understand. And even when I think I do, there's a very good chance I don't fully understand it. Now, the Lord knows everything about it. Everything about it. Trouble speaks of those times when the pressures of life seem to close in around us. And that all it happens to all of us from time to time. In those times, the people of God have a refuge. They have a the Lord is good, and He's there to help us in the troubled times. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 33. He tells us in His Word He's there to help us. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. And it says here, the eternal God is thy refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy before thee and shall say, destroy them. The eternal God is thy refuge. Who else in your life is your refuge? It's nobody but the eternal God. He's the only one. Let's go to Psalms 27:5. Oh, the encouragement we can find and the truth we can find in God's Word if we just go there. Psalms 27:5 says, for in the time of trouble, and remember, trouble comes to every one of us, and that's no secret because we all know that. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Yep, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me. That's what I want. Psalm 46:1. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, when I need help today, it's not that the Lord's going to help me 2 years from now solve this problem. He's right there right now, a very present help in trouble. All I have to do is trust in Him. I got a couple more. Because I wrote down quite a few verses on this right here. Because trouble comes to us all. Let's look at Psalms 50, verse 15. Psalms 50, verse 15, it says, and call upon me. Right there's the issue, though. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Most people won't call upon Him. It says right here in His Word, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Why does God help us through our trouble? It's so we can tell people we made it through the trouble? We can pat ourselves on the back? No, it's so we'll give God the glory. We can let other people know who helped us through that trouble. You know, when the Lord does help us through our, and He's helped me so many times through my troubled times, if I didn't tell people it was the Lord that helped me through those times, then I'm missing something here. Because that's why the Lord helped me, is so He can be glorified. You know, that's why He saves us, so He can be praised. That's why we're here, is to glorify God. The problem is most people don't glorify God. Does your life glorify God? When's the last time anyone heard you talk about God? Well, think about that for a minute. When's the last time you spoke to anybody about God or Jesus Christ? But yet, Lord is good. He's a refuge in the time of trouble. There is a place of safety for God's people. And that's right there in His arms. Nahum 1:7, we'll go back to Nahum 1:7, the third part of that verse. Yeah, we got to close, I guess, pretty soon. But Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And in the third part of that verse, and it says, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. We're not going to fool Him. You know, we're not going to fool Him. Before we can go to God and expect Him to help us through the troubled times. The very first thing we need to do is we need to know Him. We need to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I ain't got all the verses wrote down because that's not what this is about. But once you do that, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God adopts you into His family. You're a child of His. And it's no different than when my children were little, when your children were little. You protect them. You're good to them. And you know if they're trusting in you. Little children just trust their mom and dads. You know, they trust them to put food on the table. They trust them to put clothes on their back. Whether they say it or not, it's just their nature. Well, once you're born into God's family, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us we're a new creature. You know, old things are passed away, all things become new. Well, then we just automatically trust in God. We have that desire, and He places His Spirit inside of us. And that Spirit leads us in all truth. And just having said that, that leads us right to God in all truth. So first thing you need to do is know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can experience how good the Lord is. You can experience His help in troubled times. And He'll know them that trust in Him. You know, we don't have time, but we could go to the book of Matthew and we could see where some people, they thought they were right with God. Well, let's go there. We'll go there. Matthew chapter 7. And this is going to happen to a lot of people. Matthew chapter 7. I think I'll just read verse 23 there, Pastor. Jesus says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." See, all these people did, they're the ones that went to church their whole lives. They're the ones that did all the good works. They're the ones that thought they were going to heaven. But the problem is, Jesus is going to say to them, "I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Don't be one of those. Don't be one of those. Back in Nahum 1:7, "He knoweth them that trust in Him." God knows His children. He knows your name. He knows what you face every day. He knows all the details of your life. He has the hairs of your head numbered. Matter of fact, let's look at Matthew 10:30. We're in the book of Matthew. Let's just go to chapter 10, verse 30. Now, He even knows the hairs on your head. Matthew 10:30 says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Now, if that isn't knowing somebody, I don't know what is. He knows everything about you. He knows you completely. There's nothing about you, your life, or your situation that God does not know. That's why He can help us, and that's why He's good to us. Nothing's hid from Him. I mean, look at John 10:27. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Are you one of the sheep? We are more than just someone the Lord knows. He calls us His friends. That's an amazing thing right there. Like I said a little bit ago, He's the Creator. He's the Creator, and He calls us His friend. It's amazing. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? You know, Luke 13:3 says, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." There's that word again, perish. The Lord's telling us what's to come, and He's provided a way so we can escape that. But do you know Him? Are you trusting in Him? We've already read 2 Peter 3:9, and in that verse it says He's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want any of us to do that. God has no pleasure in souls going to the lake of fire for eternity. Let's go to Ezekiel 33:11. God takes no pleasure in it. if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not too late. It says right here, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? It's the same for us. Each one of us need to turn from our wicked ways and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is good. He's there to help us in our time of trouble, and we can't fool him. He knows them that seek after him. He knows them. I'm going to read Nahum 1:7 one last time before we close, Pastor. For the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you call upon the name of the Lord to save you before it's eternally too late? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again, Father, for your goodness to us. Father, we just thank you for Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and paid for our sins and with his own precious blood, Father. And all it takes is faith on our part. Faith in what Jesus Christ has done. Your word tells us all we have to do is believe that. We just ask you to forgive us. You promise you will. Ask you to save us. You promise you will. Father, we thank you for that. We're so undeserving. Father, I ask that you continue to work in the hearts of people who have heard this message in the days ahead. And just may they see their need for the Savior so they don't have to perish. Father, we thank you. Father, I just ask that you bless the days ahead. Father, protect us from the evil that's out there. And most of all, Father, we just thank you. Thank you for being there and helping us through these troubled times. Father, may we glorify you with our lives. May other people know that the Lord is good to us, and that, Father, they would look to you in the days ahead. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.